Hello, everybody. Welcome to this second classroom that I'm doing. I'm excited to do these because they get to dive in a little bit deeper into some code, into how WordPress really works, how to do things on a code level basis. And there's a lot of people who don't necessarily care for this, but there's a lot of people that really do. And I love this stuff. I love getting in and building stuff and using code and, you know, doing those types of things. So today I wanted to talk through how to build a WordPress theme. And so what we're going to do is first we're going to talk through the loop, how the loop works and what that is, because I think that's very important to understand and know what the loop is and just kind of how it works. And then we'll dive into learning about how a theme is structured and things like that. There's about 30 or so slides that we'll go through in the learning process. And then I've got a theme that I purchased off themeforest.net that's just an HTML theme. And we're going to go through and turn that into a WordPress theme. And then I'll make sure that I give you access when we're all said and done. You will get access to the code that we created, and you can kind of follow along as we do this today. So I'll try to provide as much as I can and as much help, and you'll get a recording of this later, and you can watch this as many times as you like. You'll have access to it forever. So with that, let's go ahead and get rolling. I guess let me put this in presentation mode first. And so now we can go ahead and get rolling. So very firstly, what I want to talk about is the loop, and it is the main structure of WordPress. It's extremely powerful, and it's the ability for developers like myself, like you guys, to creatively display data. So basically what it is it is a block of code that will display all of the information that WordPress has about a post or a page. And there's really three crucial or critical parts to the loop. So we have to start the loop. We have to say basically, okay, start the loop, and we'll get to that in just a second. Then we have to say do something with each post or page, and then we have to close the loop. So we want to make sure that we're opening it and then we're closing it. And then by default, it's going to retrieve everything that it can possibly find about that specific ID, that page or that post ID. So we need to add one more little piece to it. We need to add the query. So we basically want to, first we need to define what we're looking for. So say we're looking for post information, we're looking for page information, we're looking at for a specific category. We're looking for posts that, you know, or we want to organize our post in reverse chronological order or in alphabetical order or whatever. So we have to define what we're looking for, how we want the data to be displayed. Then we start the loop. Then we do something with each post or page, and then we close the loop. And so I'll show you some code in just a second, but there's one last piece that I want to talk about. So there's also another statement. So we've got to open this loop and we close the loop, and think of that as like an if statement. So if this, then that, you know, type of a thing. And there's a while loop inside of it. And a while function is basically the ability for the loop to go to a database and dynamically display information. So think of it as a librarian that goes and retrieves everything from a database one line at a time. So we're putting a while statement in there. And so it's going to go and it's going to look at, think for example, your homepage. If it's saying it's displaying your last 10 posts, it's actually going, that while statement is going and looking at each post. It's getting all the information from each post, and then it's displaying one post at a time on your page. So it's dynamically building your website. It's dynamically generating content to display on your website. So here's kind of a layman's model of how this works. And so I've got the arrows that are kind of pointing to what we want to do and what it looks like. So the very first thing is we are querying posts, and we'll show you this here in just a little bit when we get to the live demo. But basically what we want to do is we want to query the post, and we're querying anything that is tagged podcast. So anything that's tagged podcast, that's what we're looking for inside the posts. And then we start the loop. And so we basically are saying, if there are posts, and then while there are posts, do this with the post. So basically, it's saying we're going to look to see if there's any posts available with the tag podcast. If so, we're going to do something with them. And then we define in that green text that says do something with each post that we found, we're actually going to be displaying, you know, we're going to put some sort of code in there. We're going to display the title. We're going to display the date. We're going to display the excerpt. We're going to display any type of information we put inside of that area. And then basically then we'll say, once we've run through all of our statements, then we end the while. So once it's gone through every single record in the database, it's happy, it's completed that, then we'll end the while, and then we say else, do something if nothing was found. So if we are querying the post for podcasts, but we have nothing that's tagged as podcast, then we would display something down there at the bottom that in the field that says do something if nothing else was found. And how that would work is maybe we would say no posts are found, or we're sorry, nothing's there, and maybe put a search box or something along those lines. So you have control on what happens with each post. And if we break it down just a little bit more, this is how it really looks. So we're basically, in layman's terms, we are looking for all posts that are tagged as podcast. And if there are posts, while there are posts, get the next post and do something with each post and then end that while statement. Or if there's nothing, if there are no posts, then do something else and then we end the if. And all of these little things, if we go back just a slide, so if we forget to close the loop, if we forgot to end the while, if we don't have the else statement in there, all of those things will break a theme, they'll break your website, and they'll do some pretty nasty things that we don't want to do. So those are some things to think about. So essentially what we can do, and I'll show you this when we get into the demo, is we can copy and paste this chunk of code right here, and then we can use that as our base, and then we can start adding new things that we want to display, which I think is what we'll get to next. So first, where does this loop reside? Well, the loop actually resides pretty much everywhere. It's going to be on your pages, your on page.php, single.php, and any custom page that you create. The loop will display your full post content. So by default, it's going to display everything that's everything that is on that particular page. So if you went into your dashboard and you created like a contact page and then typed in a bunch of information, that's going to use the page.php template file, and it's going to display everything that's on that page. Now, a archive.php, search.php, index.php, those are going to display, the way that their loops work is it's going to display the list of posts. So think about your homepage probably has the ability to just, it's just going to list the last 10 posts. An archive page, if you're you're looking at at old posts that are tagged, as, podcasts or whatever, then those are tagged. Those are also in that same order. They have that same, it's listing all of the posts instead of one particular post at a time. So that's how the loop resides, or that's where the loop resides. And you can put the loop in anywhere that you really want, but these are kind of the primary default basis on how they work. So if we want to take an example of the loop, how this really works, and we're using the default, this was the theme that came before 2010. I think that's one of the easiest ones to learn and look through. Basically, if we want to display any content from WordPress, it has to be, we have to call those functions, we have to call things inside of the loop. And there'll be a quick reference guide that I'm going to include that you guys can download that's going to have a lot more than these next five or six commands that I show. But so you can download and look at all of these. But basically, here are a few useful commands that I use very, very regularly. So the underscore permalink, that's basically going to go, it's going to look in the database, and it's going to find the URL for the post. And so if you wanted to create a link to that particular item, you can say, say for example, most of the H1 tags around a title of a blog post are wrapped in the permalink. So it will take them to the full page post. If you put the underscore title and then parentheses and then semicolon, that's going to go get the title from WordPress, whatever's in that WordPress area. So basically think about these commands, all your PHP code is actually just going, it's getting information from the database. It's looking, so it's got a command to go pick this information from the database and then go display it on your website. The excerpt is going to display the first 50 words, I believe it is, 50 words of your post, unless you custom define an excerpt. The content is going to display everything that's typed in the visual editor or the text editor inside of a WordPress poster page. And the underscore category is going to display like category information for, so you could say this is posted in, and then put the command the underscore category, and it'll display what category that you've tagged this post or page in. So that's how this works. Now let's go ahead and look at what it looks like in HTML versus PHP. So the top box there, the one in white, is basically how you would link to any page within HTML. So you would put a href equals and then the link to the page.html or .css or whatever that is, wherever you're linking it. And then you would put h3 and then my title and then close h3 and then close the a tag. And that's how a normal link would look if you were making a h3 tag on your website be a hyperlink to another page. Now, in WordPress with PHP, you're actually going to start using some of those commands we just talked about. And so what you would do is you would go and you put ahref equals, and then you're still putting it in quotation marks, and then you see the underscore permalink with parenthesis, parenthesis, semicolon. But that's wrapped within a angled bracket and question marks. And then at the beginning, there's a PHP. And we actually have to say, as part of this file, this is actual PHP code. If we just put the underscore permalink question, or it's just going to display that. It's not going to go and look for any information. So anytime that we use PHP, we actually have to wrap that in PHP code, or we have to tell like the web browser, we have to tell that them that, hey, we're using PHP code here, go do something, don't just display this text. And then we're also, as you move left to right, you can see that PHP tag in the second red box appears as well, and you have the underscore title parenthesis parenthesis semicolon. And so every PHP command ends in a semicolon, and a lot of the functions that are built into WordPress do end in those double parentheses. If to get more in depth, you can actually pass parameters inside those parentheses, but we're not going to get into that today. That's if you wanted to, if there's a lot of commands that you can use that actually will use past parameters and different things, but we're not going to get into that right now. So another thing that we can do is we can actually manipulate the loop. So we talked about this a little bit earlier, but basically there's three different ways that we can manipulate the loop to get the proper content that we need. We can add a query to it, we can define a variable that creates a new query, or we can nest a loop inside of the loop. And so first, let's go ahead and look at how to add a query. So basically before that while statement, we can put a query in that looks something like this. And so for example here, we are querying posts. We're using the command within WordPress that's called query underscore post, and we are querying a category name that equals baseball. So any category that has baseball, and we want to display 10 posts per page. And so then it's going to run through, and it's only going to display a category, or it's only going to display the category page that has baseball. And so you could create a template if you wanted to that just displays baseball posts, and then on a menu or some sort of area you could link to, hey, go check out my posts, or go check out all my baseball posts. And then they could click on that link, and it would take them to this custom page that you've created that's only querying baseball category pages. So that's kind of powerful. That's a neat way to do that. Another way, you can actually just define a new variable that creates a new query for the database. So sometimes I'll do this. Most of the time, I will just do the previous one because that's the easiest way to do it. But if you wanted to add like a second loop, or you wanted to, you just want to have a little bit more control, you can define a variable inside of PHP, and that just starts with a dollar sign, and you can call it really anything that you want. And then you're creating a new WP query using that same information, the category underscore name and post underscore per underscore page. And then we're taking that my query, you can see that that's inside the while loop. So we're using that in front of the have post and the post. So that's another way that you can do it. Like I said, I do like using the first way as well. And then you can nest it if you like. So if you wanted to have double loops on a page, then you want to use the command there at the bottom. That's WP underscore reset underscore post data. And how that works is basically you're querying the database once, and then you want to go ahead and reset the post data, so then you can query it again to do something else on a page. Now I have an example here, and this is just on a site that I created for a customer, but basically they wanted to show pro educators, and they wanted to show the top three pro educators and the top three blog posts. And so what I ended up doing was you created a left column and a right column, but then I made a custom query on the left-hand side to get the custom work that I needed. An example, I still use the baseball in the per post. We're 10. On this example, it should have been 3. But what happens is then I could query that. I can make that custom query on the left. Then I can use the WP underscore reset data, and then that will go back, and now it will reset and then start at the top of the list. If you don't reset that data, what happens is when you query the database, it goes from the top row all the way down to the bottom. And then if you try to call another query, it's not going to do anything because you're already at the bottom of the database, and it's going to be like, oh, there's nothing here, there's nothing for me to do, and it's going to continue moving on. So we, by using the WP underscore reset underscore post data, that actually just picks up, you know, it's going to get all the way down to the bottom and then it's going to say, oh, go back to the top. So it's basically just moving the pointer of the array or a pointer of the table all the way back to the top. And then it's just moving itself down all the way down to the bottom. So that's how the loop works. And in today's lesson, when we get to it, we will just be kind of, I'll just show you how to do the general loop. And that's going to be very, very simple and basic and get you up and running. And then you'll find that most of the time, just the basic loop will work. And then eventually, as you continue to use WordPress and develop themes and do different things, it's like, oh, I really would like to use, you know, then I need to have a little bit more custom control. But the first couple years that I used WordPress, I was never actually modifying the loop or modifying the query. So I think that's pretty cool. Now, let's get on to the real meat. This is the real reason that you guys are here today. You want to learn how to create the templates. So you want to be able to take maybe you have a website that has HTML running on it already, and you want to move that into WordPress. That's one of the big things that I get a lot of questions. Can you do that? Is it possible? Yes, it's absolutely possible. It's so easy. It takes a lot of time and some steps to get set up, but you can recreate that entire website now running on WordPress, and it looks identical. That is the big thing. Like, it's going to look exactly the same. It's hard to believe that you can have two sites running the WordPress and one running HTML and they look identical, but it's going to give you so much flexibility to add new menu items, add new posts, add new pages, all those different types of things. And some people may have spent $2,000, $8,000 on designing a site, but now they want WordPress, but they still really like the look and feel because they just got it done. And this would be a perfect way to go in and create a WordPress template and then start using WordPress. And so basically what I'm going to share with you now is going to be how to take a static page and turn it into a WordPress theme. This will be, I'm going to simulate building this site from scratch. Basically, what you could do is you could start completely from scratch. You could start with a Photoshop file, and then from Photoshop, you can export it to HTML to get it exactly what you like in HTML. And then from HTML, then you turn it into WordPress. So it's kind of a three-step process. If you develop websites just from scratch without using Photoshop, I'm just basically speeding up the process. So I didn't have to waste a lot of time creating the HTML template. I just have one. We're going to use it, and then we're going to turn it into a WordPress theme. So basically how this works with WordPress is WordPress is going to rely on PHP and all of those earlier commands that we talked about to call different parts of your site from the database. So remember, we don't want to hard code. The big thing with WordPress is we do not want to hard code anything. We want to put in commands whenever we can. That way, in case the theme changes, we move the theme from our dev site to our live site. We don't have to go in and do a find and replace and then remove all the hyperlinks. So never will you see me go HTML.dev is going to be the site that we're going to be working on /wp-content/theme/images/123.png. Like, we're never going to do that because we want the flexibility to be able to pick up this theme and move it easily without having to change all those URLs. And so we use PHP functions to do this and help us out a lot. We'll substitute the PHP for different parts of your code, and then this makes it easier in the long run to edit, to move, to transfer, whatever we want to do. It's going to make it much, much easier. So in order to start a file or start a theme, it's very simple. WordPress only needs two files to work. It needs a file called index.php and a file called style.css. And basically what we can do is we can just create a brand new folder. We can work from our desktop. We can work from pretty much anywhere. In our example today, I'll be working locally on my computer using like a ServerPress type software, desktop server. It's basically just set up so that I can run locally because it does save a little bit of time and it's much easier for me. I can save a file, then it's automatically updated on the web. I don't have to upload it or do anything like that. So you just need two files. We're going to create two files and we're going to put two blank documents inside that file. Next, what we're going to do is we are going to, inside the style.css, we actually need a little bit of information. And this is all in a comment. So we basically will copy and paste this. I'm literally going to copy and paste this text when we get to this part. And you basically have to define your theme name, your theme URL, if you like. So if you're developing a theme, you can put your company website there. You don't have to put anything there. But if somebody would click on your theme name, it could take you to a URL. You put a brief description there. know, maybe this is a custom page built for Dustin at yourwebsiteengineer.com, you know, whatever. You put a version number if you like, and then you put your author name, and then you, if you have a website, you know, with other plugin or with other themes or whatever, you can put a website address there as well. And so basically all we need to do is we need to take that code and we have to paste that in the style.css, and then that's going to at least show up inside of the WordPress dashboard when we're looking for themes. And so I'll show you all of that in just a little bit. Next, we want to do is we're going to start with our index.html content. So every theme normally has that, you know, that's usually where you start from. That's the homepage you start from. And then we're going to start and copying stuff into index.php. So the very first thing we'll do is we'll open up index.html. We will highlight all of that text. We will copy it and then we'll paste it into index.php. And then we're going to chop that up and break it down just a little bit more, slice and dice, if you will. So this is how a WordPress template works. So basically, this is how WordPress works. Basically, what we want to do is we want to split up our website into several different pieces. And this is this makes it easy for us to keep things updated, and it makes things easy in case we need to make changes later down the road. So we put all of the information about the header, we put that all in the header. And that normally goes anywhere from like defining the HTML at the very start of the document all the way down through, I normally put the menu options or the header menu all goes in the header.php. That way, in case we ever need to make a change, we want to change something, you know, we do it once and it updates everywhere site-wide. If we kept all of the information for the header, the footer, the sidebar in each individual file, that would take a lot of work to keep that updated and managed. And it's like you would be working on an HTML site, and that's what we're trying to eliminate. That's what we're trying to avoid. And so, we're going to split things up into the header.php, and we're going to split the bottom part into footer.php. If your theme contains a sidebar, whether it's on the right-hand side or the left-hand side, that will go in the sidebar.php. And then on any of the pages, on any of the rest of the pages, we're going to have to add the loop. So if it's an index or category or page or single comment search, you know, any of those, they're going to need the loop. And we can still keep all of the other code that wraps the div tags and the spans and all of that kind of stuff that's already defined in the HTML template. We'll keep all of that stuff, and then we will work on that and we'll start piecing our site back together. So the first thing, though, is we just take all of the index.html and we paste it into the index.php. Next, what we want to do is we will create three new files inside of that same folder that we're working in. So it already has the style.css and it has the index.php. And then we are going to do header.php, sidebar.php, and footer.php. So we will create those, and then we're going to start taking the content apart, you know, copying it or cutting it and then pasting into these documents. So first, we'll do the header. We will take anything from the menu up and we'll cut that and then paste it into header.php. Anything that comes pretty much from the end of the content to the bottom goes into the footer, and then anything that goes that makes up a sidebar, just copy and paste it, cut and paste it into the sidebar. Now we can go and we'll look at this when we're building it, but it's basically going to look exactly the same. Everything's still static, so we're essentially chopping it up and then we're kind of piecing things back together, and then it'll look the same, and then we'll start replacing it with the PHP code that we need to dynamically pull in the information from the database. But first, we need to put it all back together. And the first line of the PHP index.php file, now we need to put get header. We need to put that command. And then the last two lines, we need to say get sidebar and get footer. So that's basically setting things up so that we're piecing all the files back together. So we've got four files now. We're basically now saying the WordPress will load the index.php file first, and then when it loads that, we're going to say, oh, go get the header. And so it's going to go look for header.php, and then it's going to go get that information and display that first. It'll display all the index information, and then it'll go get the sidebar, and then it'll get the footer. Next, we will add the loop in there. We will paste this code directly into the loop, kind of where the content is for the page, and we'll get to that, and we'll show you exactly what that looks like in just a little bit. One last thing that we need to do, if we want to, we can add a screenshot to our website or to our theme. And this just basically means like it will show this nice image when it comes up inside the WordPress dashboard. And it's super simple to do. All you have to do is add a file called screenshot.png to the root directory. And this is usually one of the last things that's done. I normally like to wait till the website's pretty well developed and it's looking like it's going to. And then that's when I add the screenshot, and you just name it screenshot.png. PNG, you put it in that file directory, and you just go from there, and it automatically works. It's just really cool. WordPress does a lot of things where it just says, define it as this, and then it's just going to work. Another thing that we want to do is sometimes we need to add extra functionality. Sometimes we need to, you know, do some special things within WordPress to make it work exactly how we like it. And the functions.php file is the perfect place to do that. And this behaves very much like a plugin, but it can have numerous blocks of code and it could be used for different purposes. Like in our functionality, we are going to use it to, first we'll have to add the menu. So if we want to add custom menus, and a lot of times we will want to add custom menus, we want to add this information in, you know, we'll use this line of code here, these three or four lines of code, and we'll add this to our functions.php file. Then that will enable the WordPress menu system to start working properly. And then that way we can start using that. And then what we can do is we have to add the menu to the theme. So we'll have to add the wp_nav_menu. We'll have to add that to in the header area where the menu is. And this takes a little massaging to get your menus to look just right. Because basically, like, sometimes your menus are wrapped in classes and divs and navs and, you know, IDs, all these different things. Like, it just takes a little bit to massage that in to make the to make it look exactly like it needs to. So that is something else that you add to the functions.php. Something else that we will do is we have to enqueue all of the JavaScript. We want to make sure that we're enqueuing the JavaScript properly. So we want to add that to the functions.php file as well. Something else that goes in the functions.php file is if you want to enable widgets. So if you have a sidebar and you want the easy ability to drag and drop stuff inside of there, we want to add widgets to do that. It makes it super easy for site owners and yourself, you know, whoever's running the website. It makes it super easy for them to change. And usually the content in the sidebars and the footers are controlled by widgets. And this is another big chunk of code. And again, you'll get all of this code and you'll have the ability to do this. And you can watch me here in a second. But it basically is saying if the function exists, register sidebar, then we're going to go through and we're going to register the sidebar with all of this information. So we can call it footer widget 1, we can have footer widget 2, footer widget 3, all of those different things. And then that's just setting up the areas for the widgets. And then we can have the drag and drop ability to go in and add, you know, everything that we need. So that's what that works. That's what that looks like. That goes in the functions.php file. And then we actually have to add this type of code here. We'll actually allow it to go into the that goes into the area where you display the sidebar. So anywhere the sidebar content is, that's basically in sidebar.php, we will put this code in there. So that means anything that WordPress finds inside the widgets, it'll be displayed in the sidebar. So we talked about some of the we're just first set up the index.php page, but then there's also extra template files to use. So if where we are in the setup process, we've just defined one page, like the home page, it's just going to display the reverse chronological post that we've made. If you had a menu page or a menu item to go to a page, a contact page, an about me page, it's not going to display anything but the home page on every page until we define a page before. And then we have to define single, which is going to be the single is going to be the template for an individual blog post. An archive is going to display the information, you know, like them. You can set up an archive page to be post all in 2013 or all the posts that are, you know, like in a certain category, things like that. Sometimes people like to set up a 404.php if they want to have a custom page set up for when people can't, you know, when they type in a random website URL that doesn't actually go somewhere. And if you want to format what your comments look like, all of those different things, there's tons of different template files that you can use, and you can create all of your own custom pages as well. So if I wanted to create a custom page with a special loop in it or whatever, I can create that page inside the WordPress theme. And so if you look at any theme that you may purchase from, I don't know, like ThemeForest.net or WooThemes, like they have tens and tens of and dozens, I guess, of theme files or template files inside their theme. And so with that, let's go on over and we'll get to the live demo part, and feel free to ask any questions as we get rolling here. The live demo is going to be It's just going to be hands-on, or it's going to be my hands-on, but let's go ahead and really get started. Let's show you what I've got up and running right now. So I'm running on a local server here right on my computer. So you can't see it. You can't see it live, but you can watch here on my screen. But we're at html.dev. And so that is my site here. We're running the 2013 theme. We've got a sample page here. It's just got sample information. Like, this is just a very, very generic theme. And so what we want to do is we want to actually create our own theme. We want to create our very first theme. And so the way that we do this is we're actually going to open up the server, and so you can do this in an FTP client. You can do this in your file control panel, you know, within your cPanel, the file manager. You can do this kind of however, but this is going to be the workflow that I'm going to use. And just think of it as I'm adding new files to my Finder menu here, or to my computer. You can do this. You just add these same files to your web server, whatever you may be using. So the very first thing is we would need to create a, we're right here in the html.dev. We put this in the wp-content folder inside the themes folder, and then we have any theme that's in there. So we'll just want to go ahead and call a new one, and I'm just going to call this one, I believe the theme name that I purchased is called Boulder. So I'm just going to call this Boulder. And then if we want to, then the next thing I'm going to do is I'm just going to open this up in Sublime Text, and we'll expand this to a full screen here so we can see this. And then I did this just because it's easy to create files within here. I can add a new file. The first one is going to be, I'm going to save this as style.css and save that. And then I'm going to open up one more new file, and that one's going to be called index.php. Okay, and the very first step, if you remember, was to go, and there's actually a template file. There's information that I need to put in this style.php or style.css file. So I'll go back to my Keynote, and I'm actually just going to scroll back up here. And this is what I need right here, this theme information. So I just highlight all of this and copy it. I did a command C here on my Mac, and then I'll command V it there. And you can see that it's gray, and that just means that it is a comment, and that's just how WordPress works. So I'm just going to call this the Boulder theme. And we'll keep we don't need the URI there. We'll just get rid of that. That's a brief description, and I'll put my name here, and we should be good with that. That will be good there. And we can go from there. We can go actually over to Keynote, or over to, I guess we want to go to Chrome. And if we go back to our dashboard, if we go to Appearances and Themes, now we should see that we have the available theme is Boulder. And it is there. There's just really nothing there. There's nothing to do. If we go ahead and activate this, we can activate it, and our website is going to completely break. There's going to be nothing there because there's nothing in that index file showcasing what kind of work, you know, there's no code in there whatsoever. So it does not know what to do at all. So we will go ahead and continue working on this. If we go back over to our Finder menu, I will open up another tab here so you can see on my desktop, I have the Boulder HTML theme. And here's what the index.php looks like, or index.html. So this is what the theme looks like. This is what we're going to attempt to build. It's going to be, we won't get all the way built through this because there are a lot of moving pieces. There's a lot of things that are part of this theme. But basically, we'll probably, we'll get a good chunk of it built during this live webinar. So basically, what I want to do is I want to actually open this up in Sublime Text as well. I just want all of this code because remember, we want to take all of this code and build it into those other files. So first off, what we'll do is I'm going to copy all of this information, and I will go back over to my index.php, and I will paste that right on in. Now, in theory, if we save this and we go back over to Chrome and we go to our dev page here, if we refresh, it's going to start displaying information, but the style sheet probably won't be there. All of the assets and whatnot, I haven't copied from that file or from that folder over into this folder. So if I do a refresh, which the refresh I did was just Command R, we can see that it's got all the menu stuff here. It's got all the text, everything that I just pasted, but it doesn't have any of the style because all of the style, if we go back and look in Sublime, it is saying, go get the style sheet, style dot, or CSS/style, CSS/prettyphoto, CSS.tipsy. So it's looking for all this information that's not actually there yet. So what I'm gonna do, and this is just another step, I could have opened up this entire file, everything that's in here. I could have opened that up inside and copied and pasted that. And I guess that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to take all of the data that's in here. So I will copy this And then I'm going to paste it into our child theme right here. So we've built our child theme. We just have the two required files that WordPress needs. And if I go ahead and paste, and I'm just doing a Command-V and a Control-V. And so now if we go back over, it at least knows it's... All the files are there, but it's still not going to know where to reference everything quite yet. Because in WordPress, it's crazy that the way that WordPress works is there's a template file, and the template isn't at html.dev/template. It's at html.dev/wp-content/themes/, and then this one we called Boulder Theme. And so all of the URLs are incorrect. And so if we wanted to, what we could do is we could go in here, and if we wanted to, we could go http://, and then we can call this as html.dev/wp-content/themes/Boulder, like that. And if we save that, we will start getting some of the style in theory. So you can see here we are. We've got some of the styles coming in. We don't have it all yet because we haven't linked everything yet, but we don't want to do that. We don't want to manually hard code. Remember, we never want to have that http://  information in there, because what happens when I move this to a live server, then I have to go in and I'll have to go and replace all of this information with HTML. You know, like I'll have to do a find and replace it all. So I just want to save that step. I don't want to waste the time, you know, typing all of this stuff out. Again, it's kind of a pain to do all of this as well. So what we actually want to do is we want to put, we're going to add some PHP here, and it's called blog info. And then in parentheses, semicolon, and then we end that. And then inside the blog info, we put template underscore URL. And so that basically is going to replace, instead of going out, it's basically going to go and it's going to look into my WordPress settings and see what my template URL is set as. And so it knows that it's at http://html.dev/wp-content/themes/Boulder. And if I would change the theme, you know, if I would rename the theme to something different, then that's going to give the ability, it's all going to start to work. So basically, if we take this code and we paste it here, we paste it here, we paste it here, we can paste it here for that information, and then we want to paste it in front of all of these things as well to get these working. But we're going to do that just a little bit because there's a different way that we want to start using the scripts. So with that, then we can go back to Google Chrome, and if we do a refresh, we should be, I mean, it's all looking the same, just because we do have the color down there, but there are more things. There's more images that aren't loading, obviously, as these images aren't loading and some different things. But this is close enough as we get to slicing and dicing this theme. So let's go ahead and start doing that. So the very first thing we want to do is we'll go back to Sublime. We'll open up a brand new file, and this one we'll save this as header.php. We'll do another one and call that sidebar.php. And we'll do one more and we'll call that footer.php. That's not what I want to do. I want to call it, we want to save it as footer.php. So we've got all of these things set up. What we want to do is we want to take our index here. We want to take everything. Basically, I think what I'm going to do in this example is I'm going to take everything just from the menu up. If I wanted to, I could. If I always wanted this area on every page, I would take from this up. So basically, you want to take anything that you want to keep standard on every page. That's what you want to grab. That's what you want to take. So for example, we're just going to go in at the bottom of the menu. We will put that all in the header.php file. So you scroll down through here. You see all the menu is hard coded. It's all there. There's lots of links. We can see end of header. And so we want to just go ahead and we'll remove this. We'll go all the way up to the top, and we'll do a command X, which cuts, and then we will paste it into header.php. We will save that, and then we'll go all the way to the bottom of this file, and we want to take anything from footer. This is social and Twitter, company menu, flash news. So in this particular theme, we've got news down here. This is what they call the flash news. That could be part of the footer menu. That could be on every single page. So we'll go from there. We will take from the flash news all the way down to the bottom and remove that. Maybe. and we'll cut that out, and we'll go over here to the footer and paste that and save that. And we want to take the sidebar out if we have a sidebar on this particular one. We do not have a sidebar, so there's no sidebar on this particular page. So we'll just skip that step for right now. And then what we want to do now, if we save this file, if we don't include those files back in, now we'll go back to our site and we'll do a refresh, and it'll look horrible again because it doesn't have the menu. It doesn't have the style page. You know, it doesn't, we haven't linked to the CSS pages. We haven't linked to a lot of things. So we actually have to go back, and we want to start at the beginning of this, and we'll open up PHP and we will say get underscore header and then parenthesis, parenthesis, semicolon, and then end. PHP. You notice here, depending on your text editor, the colors will change if there is a problem. And so I know that the HTML text should not be purple. And so I know that I did miss a I missed a closing bracket to close PHP. And then we want to go down at the bottom, and we will do a the very same thing. We'll call this PHP get footer. And I think now that I'm thinking about it, that this is actually get head. I think. Well, we'll find out here in just a second. If I refresh, nope, it is get header. So we're kind of back to normal now. And now the process is it really depends on where you want to go next. But the big thing is we need to try to start troubleshooting where some of the issues are coming. Like, so we know that there's some stuff going on with the menus that's not being displayed. A typical thing that I'd like to do is I normally open up the Chrome web browser tools. And if you go to view and then to developer and then web developer tools, it pulls in information here. So you can start looking at your theme and what's going on. So if you click on the icon here, we can click right here and we can look at all the CSS properties, and we can see, are we missing an image or what's causing this to not be black like we want it to be? And so we can see all kinds of information over here. I'm trying to just look here real quick. I'm not seeing anything that's throwing me right off the bat, but, I bet I know why. When we added this, we pasted all of our style.css information into, I guess we really even haven't done that. We haven't even put any information in here yet. We can take all of the information from the CSS file. So we've got all of these different files. Like, this is the style.css file. We're not actually... Let's see, what is causing that? I'm trying to think. Usually it's some sort of link issue. So it could be that the URLs are improper when it comes to inside of the CSS layout. So yeah, basically, it's probably within this itself. So if we wanted to go, let's take all of this. And we can paste all of this code into our style.css here. That way we have it, and it's in the style.css file. We can save this, and then what we want to do is we want to just change these to we'll just change this to images like this, and this will pull in our images. And then we have to tell WordPress that we actually have in our header. Right now we are saying that we're looking at the style that's in the CSS folder in style. And if we just go ahead and take that away, what I just did is I took all of the content from style.css, which is inside the CSS folder, and I put it into the folder or into the file that's just called style.css. It's all the way down here at the bottom. And that's basically giving us the ability to keep everything in kind of WordPress compliance. And then if we need extra information, if we want to break that into different style files or anything, we can do that. So let's see if that actually helped anything. And of course, this is what happens when I try to do things live like this. That is not there, of course. Almost like it's not pulling in one of the style sheets right. If we go back, take a look. Let's look at the header real quick here. Oh, it's right here. These files did not get a... none of these got a slash here. So I basically was calling the wrong file because I didn't have a slash in the right spot. So I need to put a slash right there, and then that should fix it all. There we go. Of course, there we go. So we've got the different colors, we've got the logos, we've got the drop-down menus, we got all of that stuff. So we basically have a WordPress theme, kind of. But if you remember, we have a the next thing that I want to do, and I want to create a page and make it page.php. If we go and we look at our pages, we have this sample page, and when we go to view sample page, it looks identical. There's no, it looks exactly the same. It's not pulling in any of the information from our WordPress site. So basically what we'd want to do there is, and usually the index page is created last, because you create the index page last because that's going to be the page that probably is the most different. If you look at our theme here, we'll probably want to start displaying our posts or do different things on the homepage, but it's not going to be exactly like all the rest of the pages. So I usually get it close and just like this, and then I will go and I'll start creating pages and then single and then start working from there. So if we go back over to our, into Finder, and if we go in and look at just what a page looks like, I think there's one called, maybe there's not one called page, but just an about us page. So if we look at that, this is what we're going to start to create now. So we want to create the about us page, and then that way this is what any page is going to start to look like. And we'll have a sidebar on this side, and then we'll keep all of the footer information. We'll keep all of the side, we'll keep all of this stuff here. So let's go ahead and take a look at this. To do that, we will go back into Sublime Text, and we will take, we're basically going to create a new, we'll just create a new template file. Command N, we'll open up a new tab in Sublime Text. And you can use any text editor. You can use any program that you like. This is just the one that I chose and am working through and trying to learn. And then I will save this as page.php. Save that. And what we can do is we can take index.php. We can highlight all of this if we want to and copy that and kind of shortcut our way to success. So we're gonna do that. And then we're going to also open up that about me page or about us page, so we can see this. Now remember, the about us page has, we just want the body content. We don't need anything but from the title down to the bottom in the sidebar. Like, that's the information that we're looking for. So if we go in, we can go, here's the header. It's all about kind of looking through the code and just figuring out, okay, where has the developer defined different things? Luckily, this one has done a super job. So we're starting logo, we're ending logo. We start nav here, and then we scroll down through here. We end nav here. We end the header here. So this is where we start the content. So in this example, we can go ahead and remove all of this. We're actually in the about us page. So we don't need to remove that. We want to just take this content. We went from start content to end content. We'll find all of that in sidebar, end content. So we'll take all of this and we're going to copy it, and we're going to go over to our page.php, and we're actually just going to just remove all the stuff that's there, and we will paste this in. Okay, we basically took stuff from the about us page. That's the page we're trying to duplicate. That's the page that we want to, create. And we'll go ahead and save this. And now if we go back over to Chrome and we take a look at our sample page and do a refresh, now we've got, the page looks different, but we don't have, this is supposed to say sample page here. It's supposed to have the sample page text. It's, we don't need this team information, and in the widget area is not set up yet. So how that works is we'll just go here and remember the commands that we learned a little bit a while ago. We'll put the PHP in here, and we'll close PHP so we don't forget. And then what we want is the underscore, and we're looking for the title. Like so, we put a semicolon there, and if we save this, now we go back over to our page and do a refresh. Amazingly, this has changed because it's going out there and it's finding that information. It's finding the sample page, and we want to, it's actually finding the title that you put into WordPress. And so that's how that works. And now we want to go ahead and we'll get rid of this text here, and we'll replace that with the underscore content, so we can start displaying the content. And in the meantime, we don't need this information right in here either, so we'll go ahead and remove that from Sublime as well. So it's a lot of copying and pasting, figuring out what you need and what's there, and then start removing the information that's unnecessary is kind of how it works. And then another thing is, it's like, okay, so here I don't need this. I need to keep this last div tag, otherwise things will be messed up. And so we'll just do that. and remove this. And then what we want to do too is we want to remove all of this. So we can just do this, and then we can put PHP and then the underscore content, parenthesis, parenthesis, semicolon, and then question mark, bracket. And then we save that. And if we go back over to Chrome, it's a lot of flipping between screens as well. We can see that we've got the sample page here, and it is not displaying the content. Maybe there's a typo on my end, the underscore content. That should have been right. This always happens in a live demo. So that would have been what should have been there. The underscore content should go there, but it's not there. And this is a great kind of segue. So this is, I know that this is the command. This is exactly what I need, but it's not displaying anything because we haven't added the loop. So we're not actually pulling any information in. We got lucky in the fact that this information, the title, doesn't need the loop to display, but the content showing the author, showing all this different information needs to be inside the loop. So if we go back to our keynote presentation and we scroll down through, or we go back up, I guess, to the loop area, we can use this here. We can use this as our loop, and we want to put this, we can put this up here. You usually want to put the loop somewhere where, and then everything that's any type of dynamic content will be inside of the loop. So we will put it here. We don't want to tag this as podcast. We'll say if this happens, find the post, and then do something with what we found. And then we normally will do, we'll put this statement. Usually we'll cut this and then put this down here. Will be a good place for that. And then we can remove that isn't necessary. And that should be good there. And then, so basically what we did is we started the loop up here. We said, I think I need an if statement here. Maybe. Look at this PHP query if, yeah. Where did that go? If have post. So like that. So we're saying right here, if we have post, while there's post available, find the information for the post. And so it's going to go out, it's going to look for the title, it's going to look for the content, it's going to look for the author. And then if that isn't found, you know, if there is no post or whatnot, then we can end the while statement, we can end the else statement, and we'll end the if statement. And I'm thinking that there's probably some syntax, something that's going wrong here. But let's go ahead and if we refresh and we get a blank page like this, it says there's some sort of error, there's a parse error, and that's happening on line 9. So I can go back and try to troubleshoot. Okay, in line 9, there's something that's going on here, and there's something that it doesn't like. There, maybe that was it. Maybe there's too many spaces. Something isn't right here with my loop statement. And so let's see if I have another one in here that I can copy and paste. I usually have this like saved in a text expander clip that can be easily used, but in this example, we'll just take this and see if this helps any. And I can tell because of the purple text here that something's a little goofy. I don't know if it doesn't like all these spaces, maybe. Maybe, I don't know. That could have been it. Just didn't like all the spaces that I put in there to if line 10. And this is how it works a lot. As you're adding code, as you're adding different pieces, you're adding different pieces of functionality, you will get these errors, and you'll just have to work through trying to figure out where they're coming from and what's giving them the problem. So it's saying unexpected if on line 10. So it's not expecting this for some reason. I don't know. Another thing that you can always do, and you can always go to WordPress.org, and then in the search box up here, you can type the loop, knowing that you're having some sort of loop issues, and go to the loop, and then they'll give you code that you can copy and paste as well. So here is what we want, right? Here's the beginning of the loop. So we can copy and paste this. See if that plays any nicer with our code. And then here's the ending code as well. So we can copy and paste that as well. We'll just paste this down in here and see if that helps any issues. So there it is. There it actually it works, and it's displaying. This is a sample page. So there was something with copying and pasting that code straight from the Keynote. It didn't like for some reason. So I will make sure that you have access to the right data, the right loop information. So let's see what else to. So once we're in here, we can also display if we wanted to. And this is all about formatting. It's all about styling. If we wanted to display. We could do PHP, we need the question mark PHP, and we could say the_author. If we wanted to, we could display that the author, you know, who published that post. If we want to display, you know, maybe we'll do a bar there, and then we can say on, and then we can say PHP, we can do, I think it's the_date. So we can use that. It really depends like what you want to display, how you want things to be displayed on your site. And then it's all a matter of configuring it and pulling that information from the database. So if we go and we look here now, it's going to look ugly, but we can say that was published by admin on September 27th, 2013. So that was a little while ago I created this page, but it has the ability to do that. So that's kind of how it gets set up. That's the way that things start working when it comes to just setting up a post or a page. Then what we'd want to do is we can take this whole, once we're happy with what this code looks like, once we get this all defined, we'll end up having to put the sidebar information and stuff in there. Once that's all done, then we would copy and paste this into single.php, and that will control all of our posts and page, or that will control all of our full page posts. So on a home page, it's just going to display the index.php. Within that file, it's going to display in reverse chronological order, you know, snippets of each post. But when it comes to learning about, or when it comes to displaying the full post, if somebody would click on one of those articles and want to read the whole thing, the template file that's being used is single.php. So that's another way to go through and do that. A couple more things that I do want to show you, and I know we're getting close to the time limit, and there's probably some questions, but let's go back to the Keynote, and we want to actually add the next thing we want to do is we want to add the widget support for, so we want to enable widgets, and so we want to take, we want to take this code here, and we're going to copy this, and we're going to paste it into a new file that we're going to create. Remember, we have a file called functions.php, and if we save this as functions.php, we can save that. That's all we need to do. We don't have to call that from anywhere. That's just how WordPress works, and then we can paste that information in there, and this file has to start with PHP. That's really its only requirement. It has to start like that. And we will just call, we'll call this instead of footer widget one, we're just going to call this sidebar. So with that, then we can go over to back to our actual site. And if we go over to appearances, we can look to see now widgets are enabled. They were not enabled before. And now we have one sidebar area, and we can, it still says footer one here. And that's because I didn't change the text in here. You have the ability to call it whatever you want. You can give it an ID. So we can give this an ID of sidebar one, and then we will say sidebar one widget here. Like so, and then we can save that, so that will update that. And then what we need is we actually need another line of code to display these on a page. So we want just a, let's see if my code here works. I know that. And then we want this, and so we'll go back to our page.php. Here's where the widgets lie. So if we put this, we can paste this actually right in here. And I know that this needs a PHP here. And we need PHP here. And so if all else if everything worked, we should refresh. And it's not going to display anything because we don't have anything in that widget area. We haven't drug anything in here. So if we refresh over here, we see now it says sidebar one widget area. And if we wanted to put in, say, just a search box, we could click and we could drag that over there and we could say search, save that, and go back over to our site and refresh. And you notice I have quite a few tabs open. It's because I like keeping one tab open to develop and do things, and then I like another tab open just to easily do a refresh to see if it works. So if it doesn't work like it did there, like, so it's like, oh man, that didn't work. There's a problem somewhere. So now I can go back, I can see if there's a problem here, and I don't have to reload each page. I think I know what the problem is. We called that sidebar something different. We called it sidebar one instead of footer area one. So it was looking for footer area one, and there wasn't one there. And so if we do a refresh now, there's where our search box will appear. And so that's how you start adding that stuff. So if we wanted to add testimonials, we could add these in as a widget. We could add a plugin to do that information. But basically now, any type of thing that we put in the widgets area, if we wanted to put metadata over here, I guess the search box disappeared when I refreshed. We could put a tag cloud if we wanted to. So we can do all of this. This will all start to display over here on this page. And so that's just how WordPress works, how it works with the themes, how it works with the widgets, and how to turn on widgets in special areas. So if you wanted to, if for example, let's say we wanted to create, we'll take this page. We don't want any of this testimonial stuff anymore because that's just kind of built in, and we don't need any of this. We'll just get rid of all of this stuff here. That looks good. We don't need this either. And then it's a lot of cleaning up. You can go through and you clean up a lot of files. So you save. We're going to copy all of this and then create a new file. And we'll paste all of this in and we'll call this. We'll save this as single.php. And then what's really cool is if we wanted to, we could change this to say from sidebar one, we can say on blog post page. Or just blog post, we can call that. We can go over to our functions.php file. We can register another sidebar. So if we wanted to, we could just go ahead and we could register another sidebar here. Just trying to make sure all my parentheses are straight here. So we just need to take all of this and paste this, and we can call this, what did I call it? Blog post, they call it one. Blog post one, and then we'll call this blog post one, and then blog post one, and we can save that. And then if we go back over to our site, we can do a refresh. Now we have a blog post one and a blog post two area. You see that everything's gone. That does, when you're renaming, when you're changing things within that functions.php file, those things will actually kind of reset. So as you're building, you know, like you'll want to set all your areas up first before, you know, you don't want to just do willy-nilly, just keep adding them because they will start removing things and just changing things. So if we want to say pages, and that will be on the regular sidebar, and we'll put a tag cloud on our blog post page. So then those pages, you can dynamically control what those look like. So on our sample page, we just have a menu item that's got pages. And then if we go and go to a post, here and we view a new post, then we can see that there's no tags on this site yet, but all the tags would be there. So if you wanted the sidebar to be different, and you could do that. Another thing that I would do, we don't have time for it today, but what I would do is I would also create these five different areas here. I would just go through and create these as widget areas. So if I needed to easily change them, you know, this is just, you go through and you kind of make judgment calls on what needs to be easily updated, what doesn't need to be updated, and things like that. So I'm going to go and look at some questions and see if there's any other questions out there. And then we will, then if we want to go into more depth, I can go into some more depth as well. And yes, you guys found that it was the not closing of the tags. That was probably the issue, but no real outstanding questions. I'm trying to think of what else we can do when it comes to getting things set up. So the next thing, I guess we do need to add the menu. So see how, let's go back to Sublime, and we see in the header.php, we've got all of this stuff. There's a lot of stuff here. I guess one other thing that I completely forgot that really needs to be done right at the very get-go is we need to turn on, or we need to add these two functions so that the plugins can load properly and all of your WordPress stuff can load properly. So to do that, right before the end of the header tag, you do a quote, or you put in PHP like so, but then you put, it's called WP underscore head in parentheses, and then semicolon, and you save that. And then in the footer.php, right at the very bottom, right before it's all said and done, you do the exact same thing, and you say get footer like that, and you save that, and then you go back over to your site, and you probably won't see any difference. There won't be anything that's really noticeably changed, but if it's all set up and done properly, then you should see the admin bar here at the top. And that's normally an issue. If you do not see the admin bar in your, and you've told WordPress that you want to see the admin bar, so under users, under your profile, don't look at my admin name as admin, but I want to show toolbar when viewing the site. So because I have that set, I should always see this black toolbar at the top. So there could be get underscore footer. It's not get footer. It is WP footer, like so. And so when I do go back and refresh in Chrome, that should be showing me that bar across the top. So that's another way that you know that WordPress is set up properly, because and if you don't see this, and it should be loading even if you don't want it to, like unless you've checked that box there in your profile, it should be there. I like being able to see that because it gives me the confidence that, okay, that's working right. Now I know that every plugin is properly working. Because if you don't have that WP underscore footer, plugins will break, plugins will be broken, there'll be crazy stuff going on. You're like, where is this all coming from? And it took me hours upon hours upon hours one day just trying to figure out why a plugin wasn't working properly. I thought the plugin was corrupted. Here it was my theme. So that's one of the things to look for. One other thing that we want to do, and this is where I was going with that, was inside of the header.php file, you can see that all of these menus are here. So we don't want to control the menus within having to open up a theme. We want to actually go into WordPress. We want to go to appearances, and we want to go to menus. We want to be able to go and add a menu wherever we want. So I'm just going to create that main menu here so we can get started. But we want to be able to click and drag and move menus, and that's one of the real powerful things when it comes to WordPress. So if we go back over to our keynote presentation, at one point, I believe I showed you this, and this is always code too that I have to copy and paste because I don't know it off the top of my head. We actually have to register our custom menu if we like. So we want to take this, and we'll take all of this code and we'll paste that into the functions.php file. We'll take that, and we can do that after. I'll just put this before. We'll put that up there like so. So we can register our menu, and then what's it saying here? And then we want to add this line of code where we want the menus to display. And this is probably the most difficult part when it comes to getting your WordPress theme working and looking properly. And it's basically just because doing the nav stuff is always a complete pain. And it's just always what I've found. So I've pasted in this code. It's basically a function within WordPress, WP underscore nav underscore menu. And I'm just basically saying I'm sorting the columns by menu order. It's a container class of menu header. I'll change some of these things in just a second, but let's see if we add a sample page here and we add this to our menu. Let's see. It doesn't like something in that functions.php file. Which I'm not sure what doesn't it like. Just do that. Let's just put that in there. It's my text expander clip that I always do use just to add that theme support inside of WordPress. I think this is redundant because WordPress automatically enables the new menus, and I call them new. They came out in WordPress 3.0, which was how many years ago? But that basically is going to just enable the ability to start using these WordPress menus. We'll reload. Let's see here. We'll add this to the menu. So now that appears. That appears in the menu. We can save the menu. And if we go to our theme and we do a refresh, we can see that, okay, we've got sample pages here, but it doesn't look like any of the other menus. And so it's a complete nuisance. It's a complete pain. What we want to do is we want to go and we want to look at that command that we're using. So the command on header.php is the WP nav menu. And we will open that up in the loop, or not in the loop, but in WordPress.org to see what parameters, how to determine what variables to pass into this thing. So, and this always gets me every single time. I know how to use it, but I always forget and I always mess something up. So basically how it works is we're basically taking the WP underscore nav and we're passing in these arguments. And these arguments can be your theme location, your menu, a container class, container ID, a menu class. So it's really like matching up your container. So the container in this case will be, let's do this. Let's put this to this side and put this on this side. And we can kind of take a look at this side by side. So we know that the container, we can see that the container ID is nav. So you can see that, it's all going to be, the whole menu is wrapped and is inside the ID of nav. So we want to add that. So we can add, so let's see here. Let's just go like this. This is hard here. So we can say container underscore ID, and then we put this and that, and then we will call that in nav. It's because I know that is one. And then another thing we want to do is the menu class is called level one black. So if we do, we look here and we can do menu underscore class. Whoops. And then that would be level one black. Put a comma there, and then we should be able to see that something should be happening. It should be looking a little bit different. So it's starting to. Maybe we need to put another menu item in here. Let's put a link and say we'll just do html.dev, and we will say home, and we'll just add that here. So we have that ability. We'll say that, we'll leave that at home. We'll save menu, and we'll see what that looks like. We can do a refresh so we can see that, okay, it's starting to look proper. It's starting to look the right way. Maybe we need to check to make sure that the drop-down menus are working okay. So we could do another one, and this is just to test HTML if we wanted to, and drop down. And we can add to menu, and then we want to click and move that over there. So it's a drop-down item, and save that to the menu. And then if we do a refresh and see, okay, home looks okay, drop down, okay, there's a little bit, something's off because it's not quite close enough, you know, so it's a little hard to work, but you can get the idea. It's starting to work. It's starting to look good. And so what we would do then is now we can get rid of pretty much all of this stuff right here. We can take all of the code that's in here for the menus. Let me bring this back out to full screen so we can see this. But basically, we've got our menus set up, so they are working pretty well. They're not quite there, but they're pretty close. And then we can go and we can scroll down through here and remove all of this text. One other thing, though, that this theme in particular has that not all themes have, there is this span tag that has the welcome underneath it. So if you look at our theme here, let's see. I have to remove this code real quick. So that we can see, if we do a refresh, we can see that we've got like this welcome text underneath, we've got the skins underneath, we've got other pages underneath. And so in order to do that, there is the ability to, it's one of these options, I never remember which one it is, but it is echo fallback before or after link. I forget which one it is, but there is a way to, in the menus, in the screen options, to turn on like a description tag. And so then we can have the description of the homepage be, this could say, you know, a little extra text underneath there. And then I would just, I don't know what the code is to pull that in. It's something that you have to go and you have to display the menu description. So wherever that is. So if we would be interested in that, we just type in WordPress and then menu description and how to add a menu description. Of course, WP admin or WP beginner has it. You turn that on, you add it to the class. So here would be the instructions on how to do that. I don't have time to go through that right now. I'll link to this as part of the session. So that's how that piece works. And then finally, the last piece that we want to do, and the last thing, and of course, there's a lot of moving pieces. We're nowhere close to being done with everything that we need. So if we go back, we can put this back, and then we want to just remove all of this text. Get rid of all the way down through the UL. And then if we save this and go look at our site real quick now, we'll see that it does start to look, you know, perfect. And if we had that sample text down underneath there, that description text, that would give the ability for this hover box for us to actually use it. I believe that's what the issue is with that removing so fast. The last thing that we want to do, and this is something that not a lot of people do, and it is it's practice that needs to be done when it comes to WordPress, but it is making sure that all of our scripts and our style sheets are actually there. It's what's called enqueued. And so how this works is basically you use your functions.php file, and then you use a command called wp_enqueue, either style or enqueue script. And you take that information, you take that code. And so you put everything in there. And then this is especially crucial for JavaScript stuff. And so like this one here, you know, you can see all these JavaScript files that are right here, but you know, so it's loading a jQuery file that's built into the specific theme. But we want to make sure that we're always using the latest and greatest coming from WordPress. So if we enqueue the scripts, that's actually going to enqueue and set up the ability to if we're calling an older version and we enqueue it, and WordPress already uses a newer version, it's smart enough to know that, okay, hey, WordPress is already there. If you try to load two versions of jQuery, two versions of any type of script, it's going to break and things get really, really messy really, really quick. And so in order to kind of cut down on showing you how to do that, instead of going and actually doing it, the command is wp_enqueue. I think if we just type that should find it. It's enqueue script or enqueue style. So either one works. And how this works is we would put a line of code like this into our functions.php file. Where is that one by now? It's right here. And we can put this here. We don't need the PHP tags because we're already in PHP. And so basically what we want to do is the handle is like a brief description of what it is. And so the handle for it could be jQuery. We could just call it jQuery. The script, let's see how this looks. I always forget this too. I always have to look this up. So let's see. Yeah, so here's what it would look like. So this is a great example right here. So we would say wp_enqueue script, and we would call it the script name, so whatever that is. So we could call it, and this really, you just make something up and put it in here. So say, for example, it's a light box. So we call it light box. And then we put the code in here that says get template directory URI. So that's basically going to get that template URL that's in there. So we don't have to type in http://, you know, template directory, you know, all of those different things. It's a different command, but it's doing the same thing as it does in the theme file. And then we would say, okay, go look in the JS folder. And then the code is called example.js. If you needed to pass any variables or anything, you could do that via the array. Then you put in the version number that the code is. That way it can make sure that it's loading the proper code. And then if you want it to be in the footer, you put true. If it needs to be in the header, you just leave it as false. And so that is how that works. And it's basically, that's the best way to do it. And so what I would do is I would go in here and I would actually, so I've got the enqueue script here. This actually needs quotes around it from the example I saw that. But And then I could go in and fill those things out. And then what I normally do when I'm doing this is I would just take this whole section right like this. I would cut this and I would take it over to the functions.php file and I would enter it down just a little bit. It's obviously going to break everything, but then I would go and you have to add one enqueue script line item for every JS file that's there. Now, another thing when it comes to this particular theme, like if we don't want to put a slideshow in, if we don't want, you know, different things, like we probably don't need that JavaScript and we could just remove it and get rid of it because it's not really necessary. So that would be another thing to think about. Another thing to, you know, these themes come with so much stuff in them. You can see in my header file after I removed that, but there's some more JavaScript here for doing some, this actually does, what's it called? Font replacement. So that's there. If you have a fav icon, you know, you have to tell that, like the fav icon's not coming up, but if I put in the, I normally have text expander, BBI will do everything that I need. That will start bringing that in. So that's helpful and powerful. You'll find that some of the commands that you use all the time, you'll make them shortcuts. You'll make them easy to create, easy to type out. So you're not wasting time every day, you know, typing different things out. So I think that is going to where I'm going to wrap this up. There's so much to learn and I could spend another probably an hour and a half going through more and more stuff, how to clean stuff up, how to, you know, make sure that things are right. You know, you'd want to then go through once you kind of have your site looking well, you've got your pages and your styles, and then you can go through and start removing CSS files. And you know, like if we go to the style.css folder, we can see that there's hundreds and hundreds of lines of code that we don't need all of the code necessarily. Some of it might be for stuff that we're never using. Like if we don't put a slider in, we can totally remove all of this code. So that would be the next thing to do, is go through and take out stuff that's unnecessary. So with that, if there's no questions, I'm surprised that either I was doing a great job explaining or you guys were thoroughly lost and had no questions to ask. Thank you for your time today. I know that we went a little bit long, and I know that there's a lot of information. You'll get a copy of this a little later today to kind of go through and study. And it's a complicated process, but it is easy to use. You can get started even today. You know, you can go and you can start going through and learning. And this is the best place to start to really learn and understand how a WordPress theme works. Again, remember, if you start using the WP or the underscore content and nothing's being displayed, you want to make sure that the loop's there. I'm going to include like just all of these files that we've worked on today that I've worked on. I'll just include all of these as a zip that you can download as well. That way you have source files, because it'll have all the source files for the theme, and it has my stuff that I've built so far. So if you want to kind of shortcut your way to success and really start from there, that would be a perfect place to do that. And again, if you want way more in depth than a lot of training videos just like this, that's where the WordPress developer training comes in. I have a lot of fun working one-on-one with developers, or one on four or five or six, or, you know, there's a handful of people in the classroom, but it is a great place to learn and understand. And I get into way more depth and talk about building plugins and all kinds of things. So if that's it, that's all. We're going to say goodbye. Thank you guys for hanging out today. Thanks for those who are in Australia that came in at midnight on Saturday morning. Thank you guys for that and hanging out. And with that, there'll be another session here soon, another one of these classrooms. If there's something in particular that you'd like to learn, go ahead and send me an email, dustin@yourwebsiteengineer.com, and just let me know, hey, I'd really like to learn X. And I will go ahead and start thinking through that. And if you've got some good suggestions, I love to focus and build stuff and teach you guys what you want to learn. Like, it doesn't make any sense for me to stand up here and do some sort of lesson that nobody wants to learn about. So that's how I'm going to wrap this thing up. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll talk again soon, and you'll get a replay of this very shortly as well. Have a great day, either Friday or Saturday, wherever you are, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye-bye.